Welcome to Sozo's Podcast, a student ministry of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. We're glad you're here. We meet every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. Check us out on Instagram at SozoYTH.
What's up, Sozo? How are we feeling tonight? Okay, I can work with that. Hey, listen, we are in week two of this series, Family Matters. And let me just say this. If it matters to God, it matters to us. Come on. And today, I want to share a vision for 2019 and what God has put on Alyssa and I, on our heart, where we're heading. But before I unpack that thought, which will ultimately be where we land the airplane tonight, okay? Before I unpack that, I want to share why we exist as a church and a youth group. We exist as a church and a youth group so that all people can realize God loves them unconditionally. God loves you unconditionally. Somebody say, come on. It's so true. And we're so excited, family, that we're, Alyssa and I, we're just so excited to be family now. If you missed last week, I just want to encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast and catch some things as we unpacked a little bit about us. And I don't want you to miss out on that. But we're so excited. We're all about students being known, needed, and nobody forgotten. Come on. Did I come to the right youth group tonight? Okay. Hey, here's a little bit about me. I come with a lot of passion. Somebody say passion. Not in a creepy way, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Come on, y'all. But I come with a lot of passion, and so I get excited when I talk, and I'm very, very excited about tonight and what I have to share. I wanted to remind you that you belong and your family. So if I haven't said it to you, welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Listen, we want everybody to know God. What does that mean? We believe if you keep coming to Sozo, that God will give you the tools and the relationship to grow in right relationship with him. So don't miss out. Don't miss out. I want to give you a glimpse into the next 3 weeks. The next 3 weeks, we're going to be starting a brand new series called Kingdom Builders. I got to tell you, I am so excited about this series. This is what we're going to be talking about, building and expanding the kingdom, reaching more faster. It's going to be so amazing as I unpack this. And listen, we have been designed, God has created us to make an impact. I believe that. We've been designed to make an impact, and we're going to talk about that. It's one of the most life-changing series coming up, and I don't want you to miss it. But we're going to go ahead. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians. Everybody turn to 2 Corinthians 8, 2 through 5. Listen, if you brought your Bible with you, go ahead, get your Bible out. If you brought your phone with you, that is your Bible. Holla at your boy. If you don't have the YouVersion Bible app, get that out. Let's go through God's word together. And I got to encourage you, note takers are history makers. I really believe that. Take some notes tonight. God, if you store things up in the well of your heart, come on, he'll bring it out in the appropriate time. And so put it inside your heart. And I want to start with 2 Corinthians 8. And so let me give you some quick context of this and what we're looking at. Paul was trying to inspire the Corinthians, right, to give to the Jerusalem church. He wanted them to give to them. And it was like the headquarters and such. And so he was telling the Corinthians about a group of people known as the Macedonians, okay? And the reason the Macedonians were so moving to Paul is because they were dirt poor. I mean, like, they were living in such deep poverty, and so the Macedonians, they gave this amount, a massive amount of gift. It was significant. It was huge. And he was bragging on them. So this kind of sets us up. This gives us some context to where we're at. So if you're with me, say yeah. Yeah. All right, so 2 Corinthians 8, 2, here we go. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able to give, even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said that. We truly believe that. Come on. The church doesn't exist for us, but we are the church and we exist for the world. You feeling me tonight? You with me? So if you're taking notes, you could write down the title of today's talk. I'm gonna make it so easy for you. took a lot of creative energy. You ready for this? Somebody write down generosity. Generosity, write that down. Listen, generosity is our word for the year. Alyssa and I, we've been praying for you guys, and we're just so excited, and we believe that this is who we are gonna be. We are gonna be a student ministry that is known for being the most generous. Come on, in 2019, we are gonna be known for being rich in generosity. Generous with our time, generous with our talent, and generous with our treasure. Amen to that, amen to that. So let's just go ahead, let's pray. We're gonna unpack this thought. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for encouraging everybody in the room. Lord, I thank you for strengthening us. Open our eyes so we can see you, Jesus. Open our ears so we can hear the Holy Spirit. God, do what only you can do in this time and in this setting. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen and amen. Hey, generosity is something that God has done such a significant work in my heart. And I wanna tell you a little bit about my story today with that, but it was years ago that I read one of these books by Stephen Covey. It was 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And he talked about the difference between a scarcity mindset and an abundance mindset. Now, if you've never studied this, I encourage you to take a note, Google it later, but I'm gonna share a little bit of the difference between a scarcity thinking and an abundance thinking, right? And so I grew up quite honestly with a scarcity mindset. And so a scarcity mindset believes that there's just simply not enough to go around. Like there's always a lack. Give me. I just gotta hold on to this, right? Because there's not enough. Now somebody with an abundant mindset believes that there's more than enough. Shoot, we ain't ever gonna run out. There's always enough. And if you take it from a faith perspective, we serve an abundant God. Right? Come on, we serve a powerful God, and our God can provide in abundance. So for example, let's use it this way. Let's just say that you're at school and you got your tray of food, okay? And somebody takes 1/4 of your plate. You'd be like, no! It's my food. It's mine, right? An abundance mindset would be like, shoot, here, take some more. I'll go get, it doesn't even matter. There's gonna be plenty left around. There's an abundance there. So there's always enough to go around. And so with this scarcity mindset that I grew up with, I grew up very afraid and, to be honest with you, terrified to give. Scared to give. I wasn't a generous person at all. And so with my time, my talent, and my treasure, and so I grew up always looking for a handout. For an example, when I was 16 years old, this was so awesome. I was dating this girl at the time, and her dad, he had this old 89 Oldsmobile Royale, right? This thing was like a beast. I'm talking like, holla at ya, boy, old school boat car, hit the gas, and you know, horsepower. Any gearheads in here, but horsepower. And so I was so excited because he gave me this car, but unfortunately, the car was broken and he knew that. And so he didn't have a generous mindset. He actually had the mindset of like, hey, if I could give it to this kid, I won't have to pay the towing fee to get this thing out of my yard. Like, this is horrible. And so I started Googling. He gave me this car. I Googled it. I'm looking up and down everything. And I found out that the common issue with the car was the transmission. And all you needed to do was flush the transmission. It was like a $30 fix. Oh, man, I was so pumped. I didn't tell him. You know what I'm saying? And so he signs the car over to me. It's in my name. So I spend like literally 3 hours changing the transmission fluid, getting it all right. I start the car. He comes walking out of the house, grinning ear to ear, like, yeah, sucker. You know? I start the car. I put it in gear, and I drive away. Praise God. And literally, as I begin to drive away, this is so awesome, but I could hear him outside of the car, and you could see him in the rearview mirror. I mean, he just starts freaking out. He starts swearing and cussing. He's like, you son of a beep, 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 blankety bang, beep. And like, he's freaking out. He's throwing all kinds of colorful hand motions at me, and I just drive away. I was like, God's been good. Scarcity mindset, I'm holding on to this thing, you know? And in fact, this is so funny. I got two rules for you if you ever give somebody a broken car in your life. And I hope that you don't do this, but rule number one, make sure that you check the fluid, okay? It just might work. Rule number two, make sure you're not in eyesight or nobody's able to hear you freak out as they drive away with your car. But I'm just saying that that is the reality that you know, he was the opposite of a generous person, completely. And so the word that God has given us for 2019 is generosity. Everybody say generosity. And I believe that people should live a generous life, that God's people should live a generous life. So let's look again at 2 Corinthians 8, 2 through 5. Let's go through this again. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in what? Rich generosity. Rich generosity. And he said in verse 3, this is stunning if you think about it. Watch this. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able to, and even beyond their ability. Pause there for a moment, and I want you to ask yourself a question. Ask yourself, when was the last time that you gave as much as you were able to and even pushed it beyond that point? That's a pretty convicting question, even for myself. And so, and they said, entirely on their own. Now, this is interesting. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord's people. In other words, they're like, we want to give. We want to give. And I don't know if this happened or not, but I love to imagine like conversations that happened. You know, and I like to fill in, so this is Ben Archer's take on it. But I just imagine that they're sitting there and Paul saying to them, you know, we got to give. You don't understand. We got to give. And he's watching it, and he's watching this, and he's like, listen, y'all don't need to give. Like, we can go get some wealthy people that have a lot. And they're just pleading with him. Like, no, you don't understand. We want to do this. We want to further the mission of God. This is something that we want to do. We plead with you for the privilege of being able to give. How differently is that from what we see today? That's totally counterculture, isn't it? Like, you see people, we're talking about ministries and churches and nonprofits and charities. It's almost like they gotta have all these gimmicks to get people to give. Like, you know, we're selling cupcakes. Lord's gonna provide. We're selling cupcakes. If you give $100, we'll give you 100 cupcakes. Praise the Lord. Like, and they're just, it's so different. It's amazing that this is a very poor group of people that are like, look, no, please, it would be our honor to give towards furthering the mission of our Savior, Jesus Christ. They urgently pleaded for the opportunity to give. In verse 5, it says this, and they exceeded our expectations. I love this. They gave themselves what? Listen to this. They gave themselves first all to the Lord. Stop there for a moment. They gave their lives to God fully and completely. Jesus, take my life. It's not my own. I give it to you. And then by the will of God, also to us. They started out by living their life completely for God. And Paul said, and since you excelled in everything, see that you also would do what? Excel in generosity. Let's be great givers. Our word for the year is generosity. And I really believe that if we want to lead the way as a youth group, as a church, then we need to lead the way with generosity. Why? Because if true belief, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive, Jesus said. That's why. You know, recently I heard a story about a leader in Sozo. This is so amazing. God put it on their heart to give away his car. And he's like processing and praying about it. And like, God, who should I give it to? And he sits down with a leader. And as he's talking with the leader, the Holy Spirit prompts his heart. Give your car away to this person. This person literally had a job opportunity to go and help hundreds of people. And because of their obedience to the Holy Spirit and them being generous and sowing into that, listen to this. Because of that obedience, they're working downtown helping young girls get out of sex trafficking. That is amazing. I just love the fact that we've got crazy people like that in Sozo that are living their life being generous. God, what is in my hand that I am a blessing? I live to be a blessing. I get pumped up because we truly believe that as followers of Jesus, it's more blessed to give than what? It is to receive. Amen to that. And now listen, I want to do something with us all. Now I want you to rate yourself when it comes to being generous. So I want to ask you to look at this, at the sliding scale that's going to come up real quick, okay? And I want you to ask yourself, are you less generous or are you more generous? And before you go ahead, let's do something. Let's lay down some ground rules. Let's talk about it, okay? Listen, don't put a 10 unless you're sinless and you save the world, right? You ain't Jesus, so don't put a 10. No, nobody in here better put a 10, okay? At the same time, don't put a 0 because nobody in here is the devil. You're not the devil, so you're good, okay? The devil, no. So listen, if you've at least done something, let's just say you've opened the door for somebody, you could put a 2, okay? We'll have a little bit of generosity. So you see the scale a little bit. I'm trying to show you. I want to talk about it. Where are we going to place ourselves on the scale? Let's dig in a little bit deeper. Let's discuss this as we process it. Look at the scale. Listen to this. It could be tricky. So you might be somebody who you have a lot of money and you give what most people would consider to be a lot, okay? But for you, it's not really a lot. You could also give a big amount, yet you're not really that generous, are you? Because it's not really that big of a deal to you. On the other hand, you could have almost nothing. You could give what most people would consider not that much. But to you, it's a lot. That makes you more generous. So I want you to think about it for a minute. Not so much in how much you give, but maybe thinking about it in the way of how much you keep for yourself. Okay? You following me? Fair enough? So I want you to go through your mind. Maybe you're a tither. Maybe you give offerings, and maybe you pray about what else it is that you should give. Maybe you're strategic. Maybe your parents taught you to have a giving budget. When you're bringing in money, we're going to set aside this much money to be intentional and to bless someone. Maybe you're a 7, 8, or a 9, okay? On the other hand, you might be somebody who finds it very difficult to give like I did for many years. You might be one that right now you're kind of angry that I'm talking about this in church. You're kind of irritated. Why are you talking about being generosity? You're sensitive to the subject. You don't like it. That could be an indicator that you have a scarcity mindset. Following me? And so let's. It might tip you a little bit lower on the scale if you're viewing it that way. But what I want you to do is think about it. How much do you keep? How much do you keep for you? How much do you really use to be a blessing to others? Don't rate yourself 0 or 10. Come on, because we're not gonna hit those extremes. Nobody in here is Jesus. And if you're the devil, you could just get up and leave, please. Hurry up, go, quick. And so, but go ahead and put yourself somewhere on that list. And what I want you to do right now is I want you to do this. I wanna encourage you that if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, to become generous. If you just realized where you are, in fact, you know, I know a lot of non-Christians, they are extremely generous people. They give so much. And you don't have to be a Christian to be generous. But let me tell you what, if you are a Christian, I believe that you should be really generous with what God has trusted you with. You should be a good steward. In fact, watch this in Isaiah 32, verse 8. But generous people do what? I love this. Everyone say out loud, plan to do what's generous. They plan. They plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. They stand firm in their generosity. They plan it. Stingy people, what do? They plan how they can get more. Give me more. I'm going to go out to eat. I'm going to take everything home, right? I'm getting more. You could ask Alyssa. I'll often plan how I'm going to get a new tech toy. Plan. I'm strategic. I'll go out, and then I find it, and I make the kill. I go after the tech toy, whatever it might be. A generous person does the same thing with giving, okay? What they do is they plan, how can I be more generous? They stand firm in their generosity. A generous person stays firm and they say, I gotta give. It's just because what we do. Listen, I'm generous. I live to give. I live to be a blessing. Don't miss the power of that. Giving is not something we just do occasionally. Generosity is who we are. I want to do something a little bit different today, and I want to share my story, and I hope that it empowers you, of kind of just give you a little bit of my background and where I grew up, because I just hope that this will help you take a step in generosity. I want to tell you where I started. Again, I was not a generous person, and the big hang-up for me is when I quite honestly, I started to see other people give. See, I grew up, I mean, like, so poor. And this isn't woe is me, by the way. This is not woe is me. I want to share my testimony. I grew up so poor, dirt poor. I grew up in a trailer park, and I'm telling you, like, we had thugs. I don't know what's the worst of the worst neighborhood you ever been in. But, I mean, people were getting stabbed and shot, and I'm like, duck. Like, I don't know if there's going to be a bullet. One time we did have a bullet go through my trailer. Like, it was crazy. I grew up in a crazy environment, and we were so poor. I mean, like, once I was like 6 or 7, for literally 3 years, I grew up on powdered milk. Bro, I don't know if you ever had powdered milk. It's disgusting. And here's what's sad. I began to like it. You know, because you're constantly on it. And I just, like, it was crazy. And I had a scarcity mindset. I got to hold on to everything because I don't know when my last meal is going to come. And, like, we literally, when you came into my house, our roof leaked. So, like, we had to cut out the floor because it was mold. We didn't want to die of, like, getting sick. So we cut out the floor. So you had to walk in. Oh, I'm sorry. Ellie, could you wait 1 second? Oh, just one more minute. I'm so sorry. She's on point. And I'm about to preach. I'm going to get loud in a minute. I don't want to. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, you would literally have to step over the massive hole. Sometimes I forgot I'd walk in and fall right through the floor. It's like three feet drop because the trailer's up a little bit. And I mean, like, our roof leaked. We literally didn't have heat for 3 years. We had to huddle around this space heater. It sounds pretty bad. It was bad. Y'all, dang, we were broke. Y'all got some money. Like it was so bad. And I grew up not wanting to give because I needed more for me. I need more, give me more, more. And my mindset, I had that scarcity mindset. And I'll never forget the first time that I gave and I saw God show up and his miraculous provision for me. I started to understand that 90%, and I started to tithe and I started to see that 90%, that when I was given him, that he would bless my 90% and make it go further than the 100%. It's an amazing thing when there's that tipping point and you begin to realize that our God is so big and he can do things beyond your wildest dreams. And I'll never forget tithing the very first time. And it began to change my theology. It began to change the way that I viewed things, and it removed the scarcity mindset to a God who is abundant and provides for his people. And there was the beginning for me. I can tell you there's no life like the blessed life. That when you give, something happens. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Come on, when you begin to give more than required, there's a blessing that's released onto your life. I mean, like, I just picture like a flashlight beam coming down and you, God's blessings are raining down. And when you begin to give and your hands like this, you walk into God's blessings. And he just floods you with his blessings. And it's something that's it's so big. There's a blessing that's released in you. There's a shift in your mindset. There's a shift in how God will begin to use you. If you want to see miracles in you and through you, it's time to step up, Sozo. Our word for 2019 is generosity. And I want to share the vision for 2019. I got some big things to share with you. I got like 4 things I'm going to lay out where we're going in 2019. Number one, let's talk about the student campus experience. I just got to tell you, Mitch Gore on Knock, Jake Schaefer on Slippery Rock, Seneca Valley, and Rebecca Beers leading the students in Oasis. Listen, if you're not plugged into your student campus, if you're not going to your high school campus experience where people are getting saved and ministered to, you need to step up. You guys got to go. Come on. God's got a gift and a talent in you, and he's waiting to tap on it. He's waiting to use you in. God wants to use you with our time, our talent, and our treasure. Amen? We have 3 high school campuses now, and I believe that God is tugging on some students in here. God is stirring their heart, and it's time to step up and step out, and it is more generous. We are called to be more generous with our time and our talent. If there's not a student campus experience at your school, I'm just encouraging you to step up. Come find me, and we want to plant one. We want to get something in motion so that we can get kids saved. Come on. Mitch, there's kids that are getting saved at the high school experience at Seneca Valley. That is amazing. Y'all aren't excited as I am. That's amazing. Come on. Let me tell you, if you're here and you're ready to step up and you're ready to step out, you got to come and see me after service. God wants to use you beyond your wildest dreams, and I believe the time is now. Second thing is this, is missions trips. This year, I need you to lean in. I need you to hear me. This year, we are planning on sending all juniors and seniors to a missions trip for free. Somebody say free. Did you hear me? Did you hear? That is amazing. That is generosity. That is generosity. And listen, there's some things tied to that, okay? There's some things, and this is one of the biggest things. I'm gonna unpack, by the way, where we're going in the series Kingdom Builder, and you don't wanna miss it. You do not wanna miss it when I release that. But listen, here's the biggest thing. You have to attend Sozo 50% of the time or more so that you're an active member here. And listen, this is how I'm gonna know, is by your relationship with your small group leader. We do small groups here. It is the most important part of our service. It's where relationship happens. It's connection. It's God uses other people often to do a miracle in your life. Often he will use other people. And I'm just so excited, but you gotta come. And listen, maybe you can only make it 40% of the time, and you know that. If you give that context to your small group leader and they have the context for it, it changes the story. I wanna send you. Is anybody excited? Come on. That's awesome. I don't know any church that's doing that. That's generosity. And I believe that we were born to make an impact, and we're gonna be known by our generosity. I believe that. I really believe that. You were born to make an impact. Also, number three is this summer. Come on, we got Serve Day. It's time to make an impact in our community. It's time to go outside of these four walls. People are hurting. People are dying. People are sick. God has given us gifts and talents to go and help the sick, to lay hands on them and see them heal. God has equipped you. God has equipped you. He's called you and he'll equip you. We just gotta go. We just gotta go. I'm believing that we were created by God to make an impact, and I'm believing that we are gonna have record numbers from high school students stepping up and making an impact in our community. I believe that. Number four is serving in our church. Serving in our church. So I'm looking around the room right now. There's so many of us that are plugged in on the weekend serving somewhere. Serve in the local church. Serve in the local church. The local church makes the deepest spiritual impact in the lives of people. And when people are transformed, communities are transformed, and then the world is shaped. The time to step up is now. The time is now. Time is now. We could serve all across our church on the weekend. I just encourage you to get plugged in with our time, our talent, our treasure. I don't know what it is to you. You know what it is. You know what it is. And don't say, I don't have a gift. I don't have anything to offer. Roll that out. Shut up. Tell the devil you is dumb for real. No, you got a gift. You is dumb for real. God has given you everything that you need. Victory Family Church is our church. It's our church. I believe that we will lead the way with generosity. I really do. And I believe that we are going to unleash hundreds of student volunteers that go into the school districts, that go in the neighborhoods, that go and they help people rebuild their lives. Lives impacted. We want to see people glad that the church is in their town. We want to help people because of our generosity. And I'm telling you honestly that there are going to be people that see your gifts and your call and your talent, and they're going to see the generosity there. People are going to look at you and be like, this is amazing what you're doing. Why? Why are you so kind? I don't understand your generosity. And we will have the opportunity to say, because I have a God that is so generous that he gave his life for me, and he died for me on the cross. I just believe we're gonna be generous. I really believe that. I hope that you're getting encouraged. I gotta show you one other thing in the book of Acts. This is gonna wrap us up. This is in the book of Acts where it said two different times where someone, Christians, would take what they had and they would sell it to give money so they can meet the needs of people where they were. What's shocking to me is that there's not one specific story that this ever happened. There's not like one specific story where some woman sold her earrings to sell everything and so that she could bless somebody. There's not a dad that inherited a table so that he could give it away and bless somebody. But there is one specific story of somebody who didn't give. Ananias and Sapphira, they stole and they died. And Peter thought like, oh, that's different. They died. Don't miss the power of this because there's something specific about giving. And one could argue that we didn't see it so much because it was so common. It was so common. The church just did this. Happened every day. Don't miss the power of this. Every single day, followers of Jesus did this. And watch this in Acts 4, 33 through 34. And God's grace was so powerful at work in them all. Not just some, but the whole church of Jesus Christ. His grace was at work in them all. And what was it? So there was no needy person among them. Could that be possible today? I'm here to tell you that if we were a church that would realize and get on fire, that we could lead the way with generosity because we truly believe it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, then I believe that we would begin to meet the needs of people that are in our community. We could get their attention. I don't understand why you're so generous, because my God is so generous. He gave me everlasting life. I just get so pumped up. I'm so excited for 2019, what we have in store, Sozo. We will be known for being a ministry that is the most generous student ministry. I really believe that. And I pray. Can we just pray? Can we all bow our heads? Father, I pray that you would stir within the hearts of our church today. God, that if we're a 3, a 4, or a 5, that you would move us, God, to be an 8 or a 9 in generosity. God, as we take a moment to reflect, let me ask you a very simple question. I don't care where you fall on the scale. I don't care where you fall, but if you want to be more generous, if you want to have an abundant mindset, you want to give, not out of obligation or duty, but you want to lead in privilege of being able to share the blessings of giving, to make a difference in the lives of others. God, help me with my time and my resources. Help my heart be more generous. If you would like to move up the scale in generosity and lead the way in generosity, representing our God in generosity, would you lift your hand right now? If that's you, would you just lift your hand? Thank you, Jesus. There's so many hands coming up. Lift it loud and proud. Come on, lift it high. If you want to be more generous, I want to pray for you right now. God, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you for stirring our heart more towards your heart to be more generous. God, I thank you that we're getting a grasp of who you really are and what you've done for us, God. And we want to show the love to others. I pray, God, that we would start being generous in our church. Holy Spirit, work in our hearts. That you move us to a greater place of generosity in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. We're believing that you're an abundant God, that you bless those who give. And we are blessed, God, to be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, can we clap? I want to do something different tonight. I want to make a public declaration. If you haven't made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, I'm going to give you 1 second to process this. If you haven't made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, we want to champion you. We want to cheer you on. Come on, we are for you. We're not against you. And we want you to be part of the kingdom. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. I'll be honest with you, it's no amount of money that you'll ever give. It's not about the stuff and the do-goodisms and everything that you can accumulate that will ever get you to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven, Jesus. It's cool that you could be generous. I pray that you are. I pray that you are, but I pray that you are in the name of Jesus, that you have his backing and his support. It's the only way that you will ever get to heaven and that you will ever have eternal life. I'm telling you. So today, if you're in this room and you haven't made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, would you stand up? We want to cheer you on. We want to champion you. If that's you and God's tugging on your heart, I'm assuming everybody in here is saved. Well, then praise God. Hallelujah. Come on. God is so good. It's exciting to come to Jesus. And here's what we're going to do. Maybe you didn't stand up because you just... I believe that God still wants to do a work, and I believe that he will in the name of Jesus. So we're all going to pray out loud. And listen, if that's you and you didn't stand up but you wanted to, I want you to pray loud enough because we're all going to pray together. The Bible says in Romans 10 that if you believe in your heart and you speak and you say that God, Jesus, you died on the cross for me, you believe that he raised again, you will be saved. Amen. So let's pray right now. Father God, we come to you. Repeat after me. Father God, I come to you. In Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus, you're the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins. And Jesus, I receive you to be my Lord. I'm a child of God. And I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Sozo, come on. We clap it up. If you could stand to your feet, coming to Jesus is the most exciting thing that anybody could ever do. It's a party. It's a celebration. And so I just encourage you to come up, and we're going to get into God's presence. And as we go in the worship, as we go in the praise, I'm going to pray us into it. Let me pray a blessing over your life. God, I thank you that we can join in your name, Jesus. Father, we thank you for doing a work in us. God, we thank you that we can worship you, we can praise you, and we chase after you, Jesus. Amen to that. In Jesus' name, amen.